Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And my name is Ben Bullen. I hang out with Scott here at the same website on the very same show. Ben Bullen and Scott Maverick Benjamin.
Maverick, right? Okay.
You like that one?
Yeah,
I think it's kind of stylish.
It's okay. You know? It's a little Top Gunnish.
Well, you pulled a Maverick kind of move, you know. You just swallowed that gum.
You know, well, I always swallow my gum right before we air, don't we?
That's some trivia.
Yeah.
Trivia for the
Every
listeners.
Time. I always have gum in my mouth and gulp.
Scott, it's the end of the year. It's the end of the year, and we've got to get some of these listener emails out into the public, right?
Oh, this is my shame. I'm falling behind in listener mail again. But the good news is that I'm starting to clear out the archives here too, because we've got a topic today. I'll just throw it out there: the Gumball 3000 Rally.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Gumball 3000. Rally.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And it's a listener suggestion. In fact, it's a listener suggestion by 5 listeners. So this goes way back. And like I said, I'm a little bit ashamed of that, but it goes all the way back to, August of this year.
Well, we've been thinking about it.
Yeah, I know. There's someone named Damon who suggested it in August. And let's see, I'll just go quickly through these 5 people. John, who suggested it in, July. That was earlier than August, wasn't it? Okay, so July. It goes all the way back to July.
Right.
now that I look at it. I was reading this in reverse order. It goes further back than that. It goes all the way back to May.
I refuse to feel bad about this.
When I said all the way back to August, that was actually the most recent. Anyways, it goes all the way back to May. So there's also Chris, who is from Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Shane, who is... I'm not sure where Shane's from.
Okay.
Patrick... And Patrick's from Benicia, California. Uh-huh. And I mentioned Damon already, and John.
So, to Damon, John, Chris, Shane, and Patrick.
Very good, Ben.
Hey, no, I was yeah. cheating. I was writing it down. Right. You guys, thanks so much for writing in. And today, for you and everyone else who is interested, we are going to talk a little bit about Gumball 3000.
That's right.
Rally.
Yes. Gumball 3000 Rally.
Okay, where do you want to start with this?
There's so much here.
There's a lot.
I guess if you want to, say it this way, that it's kind of, and this is from their own website. I mean, okay. I got a lot of the information from gumball3000.com, and that's probably the best place to go for the info about the rally itself, because that's where the founder posts, and that's where his wife, who's involved with the production, is. She's also posting material there. There's photos, there's videos, there's merchandise. There's, you know, the events that are planned, the routes that are planned for this year, the routes that have been in the past, photos of the starting grid from years past. So there's a lot of information on the Gumball 3000 website. I suggest you go there to get all of your, you know, all the details about this.
Right.
We'll just cover it in general here. I want to say that what it is, and this is according to them, it's not a race. It's a rally. So it's not Well, Cannonball Run seemed more like a race, but it really wasn't. It was
right.
It was also a similar rally, and that's the idea, is that this is kind of the modern-day incarnation of the Cannonball Run. Mm-hmm. In fact, the movie Gumball Run came out prior to Cannonball Run, and it was like 5 years prior, maybe, or something like that, because I think Cannonball Run was in 81.
Oh, man,
and,
yeah. I feel bad, because that was one fact that I had memorized.
Oh, no. I already blew it for you.
No.
Yeah, so I didn't know. I didn't peek at your notes, I guess, right?
We should do that. We should do note peeking.
Yeah, I guess.
But, yeah, so as you were saying, Gumball Run came out prior.
Gumball 3000.
Gumball 3000.
Came
I'm
out,
sorry. Yeah.
Was, or Gumball Rally. Whatever. It came out like 5 years prior to Cannonball Run.
Mm-hmm.
And this actual event, the Gumball 3000 event, didn't start until about 1999.
See, when I read that, I was interested, because it seemed to me, it seemed strange. I had, for some reason, I expected it to be older than it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably the reason that it's not quite as old as you think it is because it's run by someone who's relatively young. The founder of this entire event, he was born in 1972, so he's probably, what, 37 now, is that right?
Oh, wow.
37, 38?
Young guy.
Yeah, it depends on when his birthday falls, I guess, but his name is Maximilian Cooper, and he's a British citizen. He's married. He has four children. Born in Stone, Staffordshire, and his dad is a drummer and an abstract painter, is what it says about his bio here. Now, I'll tell you how he got the funding to do something like this, and it's kind of an interesting story. When he was 17, now this is right from their website still, the bio information. At 17, he was randomly spotted by a talent scout, and he was signed by the Elite Premier Model Agency and subsequently appeared in advertising campaigns for Giorgio Armani, Ralph Lauren, and Levi's. So, in other words, he had all kinds of modeling money happening early on in his life, and it kind of gave rise to this this taste for a real glamorous lifestyle, you know, the partying atmosphere, especially, you know, like that British underground rock and roll, you know. It was really kind of a cool scene, I guess. And he just said that he was able to finally also kind of fund this ambition that he always had to become a race driver. So, you know, all the time he's modeling, he's also working on, you know, saving money or doing what he has to try to become a race driver eventually.
Wow. That's amazing that he could keep his head and his wits about him in that sort of environment.
I know. He had focus, and that's the part that we need to remember here, is that he did
definitely
have focus on this. And he went to law school. He went to, I think he got another degree in journalism or something like that. Yeah, design and journalism was another degree that he got from a different school. But when he was studying for law, I guess it was in his last year, and he was following, well, actually during while he was studying for law, he's following the Formula One circuit around, and he was even raising money for teams and, you know, leading, I guess he's getting more involved in the business aspect, right?
I see.
So he's, you know, following this group around. He became friends with a lot of F1 drivers, which is, you know, the right thing to do, rub elbows with the people you want to be with in the future here. So, in the final year of his law degree, he made a bid to buy a Formula One team. There was a struggling team. Tyrell was a struggling team at the time, and he had this kind of idea that he was going to remake the team into kind of this, and as the site here says, a glamorous and rock and roll racing team.
That's cool.
Actually, the people involved with it thought it was fantastic. It was a great idea because that's what it needed. It needed a little shot in the arm, you know, to make it different. And unfortunately, his bid was overtaken by another group of tobacco. British American Tobacco, which is BAT, and now it runs today as the BAR Honda team.
But he didn't give up on his dream of race cars.
No, he definitely didn't, because he still had this idea that he's going to make something of himself in racing, and this entrepreneurial spirit, you know, this feeling that he could do it. And so he continued to, pursue motorsports interests, and then he decided that, you know what, I'm going to kind of take over this on my own. I'm going to do something on my own, and my own spin-off of this, and I'm going to... He took just six friends, and he did this 3,000-mile trip. It was really just a party rally event that they forged across. I think it was just Europe at the time, and called it... I think... What did it say? It said that... it appeared to everyone from skateboarders to billionaires, is what it says here. So they had this with this wide range of appeal. And it was even on, it was on like CNN, it was on MTV, maybe not originally, but now it is. And they say now that it even makes the pages of Vanity Fair and Maxim, everything in between. So it's really, really a popular event, and it's just, it appeals to everybody that you could possibly imagine, because it has, you know, all these real interesting components. It's, you know, this rock and roll lifestyle, glamorous, supermodels and fast cars and VIP locations and treatment, and of course there's, you know, just the beautiful scenery and
crazy personalities involved.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really just a cool event. So, you know, that original six-person rally has now turned into something much, much bigger. It's just it's fantastic. I mean, it gets a lot of coverage, especially last year. I saw a lot of video of last year's event, and I believe it was last year's event, and it was 2009, because the entire route was within the United States, which is kind of unusual, because usually it covers several continents. In fact, go ahead.
Yes, I've got to interrupt, because I saw the map on the website, and I was looking at this, and it was very perplexing to me as someone who would not readily describe themselves as a race car driver. I was very confused by the routes, the route that went over the ocean.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I know these are probably exceptional cars, perhaps even better than my car or your car. I'm not saying we have bad cars.
Oh,
but
no. Not perhaps these are.
Yeah.
These are really.
These are not ATVs, though. What's going on?
Yeah, no, they're flown across the Atlantic to compete in the rest of the event. Now, like I said, it's not a race. So the idea is that, you know, everybody gets to these checkpoints.
Right.
And what happens at the checkpoints then is there's a big VIP party, and there's a rock band playing, or maybe there's like a snowboarding demonstration or something like that with the top athletes in the world. There's it's truly like 5-star accommodations and treatment for everybody involved in this, everybody that's participating all the way through it from start to finish. And it takes, I think it said something like $16 million is what it cost to host this event.
And first off, when you say host, mm-hmm. when we say that, do we mean for each checkpoint or do we mean for the overall race?
Overall race. $16 million for the overall event to happen. This is like 8 days.
Yeah.
Seven or 8 days. 8 days, I believe. And it usually happens in May. There was one exception to that. I think it was in 2008. It happened in August, and that was so that they could time the end of the event in Beijing during the Olympics.
I see.
And they also tried to avoid other racing events and other other known events that the clientele like to participate in normally or elsewhere around the world. Like they try to avoid when the Cannes Film Festival is going to be happening.
Sure.
There's some other events that, you know, maybe something in Vail or something like that. You know, there's a lot of different events that they try to not correspond with so that, you know, the clientele is able to do both. Because if you're invited to join in this, it's pretty exclusive. And there is a significant entry fee.
See, there we go, Scott, to the heart of the matter. And I see where we're going with this. Let's talk a bit about the clientele. Now, was I correct when I heard you say that they have to be invited?
They do. They have to be invited. And I think that you can also, you're also able to just say, I want to participate, and then you're reviewed and found out if it's, you know, if you kind of fit, I guess. It's not really, it's not that it's so exclusive. It's just that the entrance fee, are you ready for this?
Hang on. Let me take
a deep breath.
Yeah, let me brace myself. All right. got my elbows on the armrest.
I don't know what 2010 entry fee is. I know what 2009 entry fee was.
Lay it on me, brother.
$44,000.
What? Really?
Per team, per vehicle.
Canadian?
No, that's not even pesos. That's dollars.
Man.
US dollars.
Oh.
$44,000 per team. So that's per car and two people on your team, because you have to have a driver and a co-pilot.
Right.
You know, for directions and just kind of...
As we talked about with rallies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and this is just another form of rally, because there's, like they say it here too, there are hundreds of rallies that you can choose from. This just happens to be one that's drawing a lot of glamorous people to it right now.
This is one with a lot of flair.
Yeah, exactly.
Style.
A lot of flair, that's
ready
right.
for it? Panache.
All right, panache, I like it. So, you know... Oh, go ahead.
What do they do when? Okay, so let's say that you and I or you or Jerry decide to hop in to this rally, and you have your car and you've got your entry fee paid, and you know, let's say you're driving, Jerry spotting, and you guys get to a checkpoint. Do you just end up partying the rest of the
pretty much
time?
Yeah.
How does that work? Because I would think in an actual rally, especially a rally of this length, you know, people wouldn't be out drinking or staying up really late because they have to be alert, don't
they? They covered this in their FAQ section that I looked at here. It said that they don't provide copious amounts of alcohol the nights prior to days when you have to drive.
Okay.
So they know that there's responsibility factor there, and you know they want everybody to enjoy everything because it's the best of the best, this entire rally. So I'm sure that there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of partying. That's just the crowd that this draws, and
right.
the events are kind of, you know, that type of event.
They're kind of geared toward that.
Exactly. It's concerts, it's exclusive nightclubs, it's, you know, everything. It's again, it's 100% VIP treatment for those 8 days, and that's what your $44,000 buys you for those evenings. And days, I mean, because you're around, well, I guess the elite, you know, the celebrities, supermodels, rock stars, sports stars, people that just, you know, wealthy investors that have a lot of money and fast cars that like to do this type of thing, collectors, just anybody who is really, really enthusiastic about this type of event is there. Now, last year's event, when I said $44,000, that was strictly within the boundaries of the United States. So you're not even talking about really transporting the car. This year, there's transportation across the Atlantic involved. The year prior to that, and one that I can give you a figure for, in 2008, they started off in San Francisco and ended in Beijing, like I mentioned before, for the Olympics. Right. This covers the flying the car across the ocean. Not only the lodging and the partying and, mm-hmm. and everything else, all the people involved in the whole thing. The entry fee in 2008 was $120,000.
I mean, cars are heavy, and the Pacific is a large ocean.
That's right. Yeah, it's
a hundred and one more time.
$120,000 for the 2008 entry fee.
I just don't know what I would do with that entry fee money, even if it would just make me rethink my priorities, mm-hmm.
I guess, but if you're racing your $1 million sports car,
sure,
in an event that happens once a year and it's very exclusive, and maybe you were invited, mm-hmm. you're going to be racing with other celebrities and other sure. investors and just wealthy individuals.
And we're kind of talking about in terms of audience, there's a large audience for this mm-hmm. this rally, but in terms of participants, it is a rather small world. So a lot of times, I bet people might even recognize each other from earlier years or earlier rallies.
Exactly. Yeah. Now they've got a limit set on the number of cars. Recently,
okay.
They've cut it down to. Well, remember the first event was six people.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many cars. I don't know if it's six cars or three cars. Probably three, if I had to guess.
Probably three.
Just for the driver co-driver thing. It grew to the point where there were 200 cars participating in 2003 and 2004. And then they realized that was just too many. It just got to be too big.
Yeah.
And they pared that back the next year, the following year. And since then, they've run 120 cars on the grid. So
maximum, right?
Maximum, yeah. So 120 is the limit. And they try to get something unique. Now, it's not that you can't go out and drive your Mercury Link station wagon in this from 1981
right.
or whatever you want, but you got to remember that you're traveling. Not only are you traveling 3,000 miles in 8 days or 7 days, whatever it is, but also that this is about style and the unique vehicle that you have. And sure, that may be unique on the roads right now, but not exactly like a Bugatti Veyron or
sure.
A Ferrari or something like that.
Right.
Of course, Lamborghinis, and there's all kinds of different cars. There's classics that are involved. Muscle cars. There's even now they're starting to have some electric vehicles, like the Teslas has competed.
Is there a Tesla?
Yeah, the Tesla competed. I believe it was last year.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, there's great variety, and sometimes celebrities will use this event to promote movies, or they'll use it to promote causes. I guess I think I read that Daryl Hannah competed in a vehicle, and I want to say it's a Hummer, but I'm not 100% sure. Daryl Hannah competed in a vehicle that used only biodiesel.
And
that was kind of her thing, as to promote biodiesel for that time. And I'm sure it was a lot of fun, and it was just a good event for everybody. They were able to run and do whatever they want. So, you've got this wide variety of people in pickup trucks and, crazy pickup trucks, wild stuff.
But, right.
Corvettes and Ferraris and Lamborghinis and whatever, what have you.
Maybe
an old Jaguar or something,
I've got to ask, Scott, what happens at the end?
The end?
The very end.
One gigantic party, I'm sure, happens at the end. Now, there are no prizes for the winner of the rally.
Okay.
You don't win the rally.
No way that you're going to win your entry fee back.
No, in fact, they tell you that there's no prize for first place, and actually racing in this whole event is discouraged. So if you're seen or understood to be, engaging in a racing element is how they said it.
Oh, wow.
That you're automatically eliminated from the competition or the event.
Which is why they go so far out of their way to say this is a rally, not a race.
Yeah.
So ultimately, this is like a partying road trip.
Well, it is. There are prizes at the end, but they're not for winning the race.
Okay.
Now, I should before we say that, this isn't a race, but I clearly remember seeing a video last year of a Bugatti getting pulled over. It was being actually transported on a flatbed after it was arrested, or the driver was arrested. I think they were going something like 180 in the desert or something like that.
I'm sure it's very difficult to go slow in a Bugatti, though.
I think that, I also read somewhere else that said something like, there's a ridiculous amount of distance in these stages. And if you were to drive the speed limits, which is, you know, the goal of this thing,
yeah,
I don't think you'd make it there on time for the, you know, the big event. It's just kind of understood that maybe that might happen at some point on the road, you know, between
sure.
competitors. There might be a little back and forth, you know, straight shot racing.
Mm-hmm.
Not encouraged by any means. The founders of the event say, you know, we don't want that.
That's not the point of this.
It's not the spirit of the rally. Yeah. So, in fact, spirit of the rally. That's what this spirit of the gumball is, what the trophy is that is awarded, the one trophy that they award, the event award.
Spirit of the gumball.
That's right, spirit of the gumball.
What do we have to do to get one of those, Scott?
Well, it's not anything terribly unique, really, this trophy. I mean, it would be great to have one. But
sure.
it is a gumball machine with gum included.
Oh, it comes with gum?
It comes with gum.
Well,
it's
that's
a gumball
cool.
machine with gum. That's your trophy.
I guess that's kind of a trophy.
And the idea that's the team, and I'll read this here. It says the team that embodies the free, uncompromising. Hang on, what does it say here? I'm trying to read my own notes, Ben. Sorry.
The most free, uncompromising.
The most free, uncompromising. Character of the rally. Sorry.
So okay, basically
boy,
the guys,
that's rough.
The people who are the coolest people,
yeah,
at this 8-day party.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what it kind of sounds like.
I gotta improve my penmanship. Yeah, that's right. And the thing about this is that the winners, I believe it was last year. So it's not about speed. It's not about your wealth or whatever.
Right.
The winners of one year that I saw mentioned was a 1960 VW camper van. They were the ones who won the spirit of the gumball
awesome.
Trophy. So. It's not, you know, the 1.2 million Bugatti that won that one, or 2.2 million.
Right.
It was the 1960 VW camper van.
That's the only trophy you can get.
That's from the event itself. Now,
okay.
You can win sponsor awards for, you know, the best car, the most style, you know,
okay.
whatever the sponsor deems is appropriate for their award to give to certain people. They select the individual that most embodies what they feel. You know, that award symbolizes.
So there's no equivalent of Raspberry Awards or something for, you know,
there probably
ugliest
is.
Car. Or
there probably isn't, but maybe it's given by a sponsor that has something to do with that. You know, maybe
right.
a body shop.
Yeah, maybe a body shop.
Maybe
that's
a body
good.
Shop has, you know, biggest dent award or whatever. You know,
yeah,
biggest accident award. I don't know what that would be, but something like that.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
So let's see. Next year, of course. As we know, it begins, I believe it begins in Europe, and then it crosses over into the United States.
Yeah, let me shuffle my notes one more
time,
and then I've got it. Yeah, they start in London.
They start in London.
On May 1st in 2010, and this is actually going to be the 12th running of the Gumball 3000 this year. So on May 1st, 2010, they start in London, go through Amsterdam,
okay.
Copenhagen, Stockholm. I think from Stockholm they fly to Boston, but I'm not sure about.
Okay.
I saw that in some places, not in others. So that's the transatlantic flight that you saw, and of course
right.
the cars are on cargo planes, the you know well strapped down in a cargo mm-hmm. plane, and the participants are in, I guess, just the most luxurious plane
first
you could
class
imagine.
And
well just some outlandish
I'm
VIP
sure.
plane.
Right.
And then they go through Montreal, from Boston, they go to Montreal, Toronto, and then they end up in New York. And that's just, what did I say, on the 7th of 2010.
That's a pretty hectic travel pace. And, you know, I'm a little bit sad to hear that they're not actually making racing the point of it, because when I saw that transatlantic flight, I mm-hmm. was so excited, Scott. I thought, in my head, there was this image of these two drivers, you know, barreling down the runway to try to get into the cargo plane before the next guy.
That would be cool.
Hit the clock.
That would be cool.
That would be incredibly dangerous, but it would be so cool.
And if you didn't make it in time, you had to wait for the next shuttle.
You'd have to wait for the next one, yeah.
All the way across the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. The stakes are high.
Interesting.
The stakes are high.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? This sounds like, honestly, I know I say this about half the time when we talk about races. This does sound like something I would want to do.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's. Are you kidding?
I don't know. Too much commotion for me.
Commotion?
Yeah.
But races are about commotion.
You know, I'm not. Here's the thing. I'm not. Okay. I'm not terribly starstruck either.
Okay.
I don't. I could stand right next to. I don't know. Pick any actor or whatever. I wouldn't even look to my left or right.
Morgan Freeman?
No.
One of the best American actors
no.
alive today?
No. I wouldn't even look. Wouldn't even ask him his name. Wouldn't even say, hey, I appreciate your work in whatever you're in. Because I'm just not I'm just not that way. So this doesn't hold as much appeal to me as something that's just outright motorsports or an outright rally where it's, you know, just a bunch of guys that are enthusiasts doing this. It doesn't I don't like the it's not that I oppose it in any way, or it's not morally wrong or anything like that. I'm just saying it's just not my thing. This is more about the lifestyle and the glamour and the frills and everything. And that to me, that's not appealing. I would rather, you know, pay an entry fee of $1,000 or $5,000, and not that I can afford $5,000 for a rally, but if I could, I would do something like that where you may have a chance to win some of your entry fee back plus some at the end of the event, or, you know, just I don't need the VIP parties every night and things like that.
You know what? I will throw a little twist your way and completely agree with you about the celebrity stuff. I'm not, how did you phrase it, Scott? I'm not easily starstruck, because to me, you know, celebrities may or may not be nice people. I don't know. I haven't met most of them, you know, and the few celebrities that I have met have been more or less very, very kind, and I think it's just an issue of respect, but of course, you don't want to, I would feel kind of like a fanboy if I was spending 8 days running up to people asking them for their autographs, you know? Yeah. I would severely be there to party. Excuse me, I would be there to party severely to the exclusion of others.
I would be uncomfortable trying to talk to somebody like that I didn't necessarily have much in common with. Not that, you know...
Dude, you pretend you don't speak English. That's...
Oh, good idea.
See, that's partying 101. You don't want to talk to someone, all of a sudden you are Scott from Quebec. Wait.
Quebec?
I know, they would speak English.
Yeah, well...
I'm trying to think of...
Maybe French.
I'm trying to match your face somewhere. Mm. Anyhow, I think we've learned a lot about this. The last question we've kind of answered, which is, of course, would you do it? And you said you would rather... There are rallies that you would rather participate in. And I think I would do it more so just because it sounds like a great deal of fun, which is what Maximilian originally... It sounds like he was setting out to do.
Yeah, understood. That's exactly what he wanted, and that's exactly what it is. So it's perfect. He's done a great job setting that up. I don't discourage anybody from, you know, trying to get into something like this. I think it's great, but it's just not for me. That's all.
But to Patrick, Shane, Chris, John, and Damon, you guys, this is our take on this. We're hoping that you have enjoyed this. We hope we gave you a little bit more information and. You know, who knows? You might have enough time to jump on the rally if you wish.
That's right. They also need a support team, so maybe all five of you can get together and figure out who's going to be the driver, co-driver, and then the support team, the chase team, or whatever.
Boom. There you go.
Done. All five. Taken care of.
Okay, and to the listeners, everybody else out there, once again, thanks for tuning in. Scott and I have to head out here for a little while, but... You can always reach us at email if you have an idea for a topic or a suggestion or any kind of comment. That email address is highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com, and we would love to hear from you.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.